Monday, May 18, 2020, Dakota County Board of Commissioners meeting at 1:00 p.m., Dakota County Board of Equalization meeting at 1:30 p.m.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, we'll go ahead and take roll.
Martin?
Here.
Tony? Absent. Kevin?
Here.
Larry?
Here.
Janet?
Here.
I talked to Tony on Saturday, and he again was feeling like he'd tell this blows over a little bit more, he'd be more comfortable. He'd do it by phone or go ahead and miss this meeting, and I told him I thought that probably good.
I'll make a motion to excuse Tony.
Second that.
Kevin?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Martin?
Yep. A current copy of the Open the Meeting Act is posted on the west wall near the entrance of the county board meeting room and is available for review by all citizens in attendance. We'll go ahead and start number one with the tabled item, and that's the item that we had discussing the wind energy. I guess my feeling is that with our stricter regulations that are in force, I'm comfortable leaving it tabled until we have a chance to go do some on-site visits and contact some people at some other counties that are actually dealing with the wind energy people.
You know, last week I did go out that way.
Out west to Dixon?
Yeah, and I talked to while the rain had kind of drizzling, uh-huh. But anyway. And I stopped by, I saw these three guys in the Squonset. The door's open, so I swung in there and see. Used to ask them what their feelings were,
mm-hmm.
And they were pretty forthright in what they said. They said that they weren't. He had a farm, just and his son-in-law had a farm, but they wanted to put two on his farm, but he didn't do it because he didn't think that the roads going up through it and things that make it difficult.
Divide his farm.
So he didn't sign up, but he knew people who did, and he said, if you go up over this hill over here where those two are, he said, you'll see the massive erosion going on alongside the road.
Mm-hmm.
And I did go up there, but it looked like they had put some erosion blanket down and stuff, trying to control it. And the big thing, too, he said, when they committed to do it, they really tore the roads up bad, like I expected.
They were the county roads.
Heavy roads. And I said, well, how do they get across the creeks without destroying the bridges? He said, well, they just up and put a big culvert in the creek, and then they doze it in, and then they go across the creek.
Okay.
And he said, that's how they get across. Yeah. And so I thought, well, fine, but I mean, then again, I wonder if that farmer already knows they go crowd in his field. It was a very deep creek.
Mm-hmm.
Might go back 100 foot, and you know what I mean.
So, mm-hmm.
And I know there's one fellow lives up there, and I was going to get a hold of him, but I run out of trying, but they knew him. He lived a mile from there. And he had an acreage there. And he said that what they did there would cut his value in half by putting them too close to him.
Uh-huh. And so his valuation from the county had been cut in half.
Yeah, for that particular fellow's property.
Mm-hmm.
So and that was the extent of it. They just weren't, they could live without it. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, okay.
That's what they told me.
So. Yeah. So before we make final action, I think it would help a lot to get out there.
More than just that. Yeah,
yeah, but no, I think
people like it.
Yeah.
The revenue in particular.
Mm-hmm.
In our case, what I'm concerned is the condition of the roads once it's all said and done.
Yeah.
And that's why I really feel there should be an escrow fund sufficient enough to take care of any damages.
And the erosion thing is something, a part of it I hadn't thought about, but with all of the, you know, the terrain they're putting them in, it's a real concern.
Yeah, but that kind of is the farmer's problem.
Mm-hmm.
It was out in his field, of course, running down the creeks and stuff like that there.
Mm-hmm.
DNR would have to attend to that part of it. So.
So, anybody else got any concerns? Do you want to just leave her tabled until we can get out and do some tours?
Yeah.
All right. Sounds good. All right. So now would be the time for public comment. If there's anything on that's not on the agenda, if it's on the agenda today and we're going to be discussing it, that wouldn't apply. But if anybody wants to talk about anything that's not on agenda, now would be the time to come forward. All right. Consent agenda items. Approval of the previous minutes from April 6th. Approval of accounts payable. And then the official reports from the clerk's office, the register of deeds, the clerk of district court. Janet came in this morning and we went through accounts payable. Everything appeared to be in order. So that's where we're at.
I'll make a motion to accept the items on the consent agenda, or approve the items on the consent agenda.
I'll second that.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Martin?
Yep.
Kevin?
Yes.
I took some time before this morning, also went through payroll claims from May 3rd through the 16th, and everything appears to be in order with regard to that. We have a number of people that we have hired to do tracing through the health department on the COVID thing that we have going on, and have reiterated to Natasha, our head, that we just really need to keep really close accounting of everything we're spending with regard to that, because at the end of this, I'm sure everything will be audited. So everything seemed to be in order with the payroll claims.
I'll make a motion to approve the payroll claims for May 3rd through the 16th.
Second.
Janet?
Yes.
Martin?
Yep.
Kevin?
I'll abstain.
Larry?
Yes.
All right. We're going to give Jared Ramers, District Coordinator for Representative Adrian Smith, 3rd District of Nebraska, a call to see if he wants to fill us in with what's going on in Washington, all the great things.
Yay. Do I have to dial nine?
Mm-hmm. And a one.
There we go.
The batteries last time, so we should be good.
Yeah. Well, just took them out and put them back in.
Congressman Adrian Smith's office, this is Jared.
Hey, Jared, this is Kevin with the Dakota County Board of Commissioners. How are you doing today?
Good afternoon. All right.
Good, good. We had a agenda item where your office was going to give us some updated information.
Yes, this, if it's all right, I'll just dive into what I have to share.
You bet.
All right, perfect. Well, this call is intended to replace, due to the travel restrictions, the House has put down because of the COVID pandemic issues. So normally I would be doing this in person, but fortunately this year that's just not in the reality of how things work. So we didn't want to wait and cross our fingers. We wanted to try our best to be preemptive and get out and visit the counties as much and as actively as we can. So that's why we opted to pursue this. And I do thank you for your flexibility and patience on that. The way I've organized the update for you is I'm going to keep it largely to what the sort of normal organization of these updates would be. I'm going to leave any CARES Act or COVID-related topics for questions, answers, comments at the end, mostly because I find that the needs of what the county is doing based upon what you have going on in your communities are so varied, it's not productive for most people to need to make an assumption on that. So given that, The update that I have for you is just to start off with as a reminder, I'm Jared Reimers. I'm kind of the district coordinator. I'm based within the Grand Island office. The Grand Island office is the home of the Congressman's casework staff. And the point of casework, and Mr. Hedquist can attest to this pretty substantially, as he's a very significant user of our casework staff, is to assist counties, communities, individuals, nonprofit organizations, businesses. It really doesn't matter. The only thing that we have to have is the standard, and this is really a congressional mandate, the mailing address that we're given for whomever we interact with has to be a mailing address of a zip code affiliated with the congressional district and with the Broadcast Congressional District. As long as that measurement can be met, we're happy to help anyone with anything that has any sort of federal tie to it. The one exception to that is we are unable, due to really constitutional mandate, to assist with anything that has to do with the court system. And basically because of separation of power, Congressman can't do anything that appears to the DOJ's office is influencing the court. Otherwise, if it has nothing to do with the court system, there is a very high likelihood that we can assist with whatever federal issues you may have. We always encourage you to reach out to our Grand Island office, and we'll always happily look into it. And if by chance it's something we either can't assist with or feel there's maybe a better route for you to go to get a productive answer, we will absolutely always refer you. We have to call it technically pointing you in the right direction of, which we can't actually provide proof to a better resource than we get what we have. With that said, the Congressman continues to be a member of the Ways and Means Committee. Within the Ways and Means Committee, he serves on two subcommittees for health and the subcommittee for they call it something different in this current Congress, but it's basically a subcommittee for tax policy. And in terms of priority legislation that we've been working on, the big one, the big focus of this work has been trade. It's one of the reasons that we agreed to co-chair the Japanese-U.S. Caucus at the beginning of this current Congress. The Japanese-U.S. Caucus is the relationship management body between the Japanese DS, their Congress, and our Congress. It's one of two parties that was responsible for getting a massive decrease in tariffs, Japanese tariffs for American beef, specifically Nebraska beef. The Secretary of Purdue announced last year on a visit to Japan. And they're one of the chief reasons that the President has had some progress, some pretty significant progress with the Japanese U.S. agreement for trade. As far as the USMCA is concerned, the Congressman participated directly in the trade negotiations in Montreal and Quebec, or excuse me, Montreal and Mexico City, when the legislators were allowed to be a part of the process. There's some global trade agreement standards that don't allow legislators to participate in the entire process, and they get a significant amount of sway and say in the conversation. He was part of the physical attendance party in every instance for those sort of conversations. He advocated for the last of these and related products. And the USMCA was finally made actual American law at the end of February of this year. So what that means for Nebraskans really boils down to three things. The first thing is it makes us able to truly export energy to Canada and Mexico. Under NAFTA, we were always able to export energy, but it didn't have the same trade advantages that existed with other products that NAFTA would have managed. Now we have trade incentives that exist to provide for energy exports, because one problem we have now that we didn't have in the mid-90s is that we make so much energy relative to what we produced in the 90s, but unlike what we produced in the 90s, we're no longer using as much energy. Relatively speaking, we've actually decreased our energy usage when you compare apples to apples. So that's a market opportunity that has opened up that we've not had existed before. That's amazing. It's a massive expansion opportunity for ag as a whole in terms of market access, both in Canada and the U.S. A big win is the size. Both the Canadians agreed to not completely change, but they definitely adjusted in a way that it was the United States with dairy and cheese tariffs. Historically, Canadians are not extremely protectionist in those two industries, or those two sectors. And they did bend quite a bit toward what the U.S. is wanting to see for those two ag markets. And then finally, I'm going to use the car industry as an example to illustrate this last one. But it is an improvement for manufacturing for both glass and bulk. And the manufacturing improvement is the percentage of parts required to be able to have a made in America, made in U.S., made in America, made in Mexico, made in Canada sticker fixed to an item, and by extension have the tariff benefits from the trade agreement applied. This most prolifically works within the car industry, though it applies to virtually all manufacturing. And what this is an example. If Ford was to manufacture a car in, or a similar car in Mexico, what would probably happen in the old agreement is they would have to, say, demonstrate that 65% of the parts in the vehicle were being manufactured and then assembled in Mexico to have a made in Mexico sticker and the trade benefit. What they found through additional inspections and checks and balances is that of the 65% of the parts that were required to be manufactured in Mexico, maybe half of them were actually being manufactured in Mexico as the plan. And instead, the other about half were being manufactured somewhere in Southeast Asia, often China, imported to Mexico at significantly less cost, manufactured under the NAFTA guidelines, or excuse me, assembled under the NAFTA guidelines, and then imported to the United States and imported to Canada. All three countries are guilty of this, we found, which is why all three countries are very willing to make adjustments, which I will share in a minute. The goal of the adjustments is to push these manufacturing opportunities back to the respective member countries of the agreement and away from Southeast Asia, and specifically China. And the adjustment that was made was to increase the percentage of required manufactured parts. So there was, again, a 60-65%, but now is in excess of 80%. And they also increased the amount of checks and balances required if you want to be involved in tariff exceptions under the USMCA to be able to get those exceptions to try to guarantee that these parts that are going into, again, using autos as an example, but it was in multiple industries in all three countries, are actually being manufactured where they say they are, and are actually showing up in the country and under the correct guidelines. Everybody has a fair and balanced playing field. In terms of healthcare, I will grant that this information is quick to know, given the timing of everything, but it's been a focus of the Congress and this entire Congress, and that is increasing access and opportunities to telehealth. Just this last week, for example, the Congressman introduced a bill with a Democrat from Arizona who happens to serve as the Arizonan equivalent of the third district. And what the bill was designed to do is provide additional incentives and opportunities and funding to rural hospitals to install the infrastructure and software and items necessary to provide telehealth access to patients. So that one, patients going into the hospital can access specialists that may not be there regularly or in some instances may never be there. So in theory, somebody who's in Dakota County could be directly with the specialist they may have claimed in Rochester, Minnesota from the convenience of their local provider. But two, its goal is to eventually move a lot of these general practitioner visits that are don't require physical interaction. These basic checkups, the blood pressure some sort of rubbing all that away from the doctor's office and carry it over to people's home, to the app on your phone, etc. That's obviously a pretty far down the road goal at this point because the infrastructure is just not there, especially in rural America, whether it's from the hospital's perspective or it's from the community's perspective, but it is a goal of this legislation and an eventual goal of a lot of the members of Congress, given the reality of access and healthcare access to rural America. The challenge to this access point and what Congressman Smith and Senator Fisher, for what it's worth, have worked on far longer than the last couple of months, and somewhat collaboratively, has been providing additional incentives and opportunities and encouragement to via legislation to communities and specifically the businesses that provide the internet to the communities to grow broadband access in rural America. The challenge to what the Congressman and Senator, for that matter, and other members are working on for that sort of access is the reality that upgrading, installing, and creating this sort of access in rural communities, frankly, even in urban communities, involves a unique web of local ordinances that do not align in any way, shape, or form. This is the case we've discovered in one community in the district are so specific that the ordinance actually identifies the explicit company that's allowed to have internet in the community or to publish, completely eliminating any competitive access to the internet. I guess that what I'm trying to communicate is the Congressman is working with his colleagues as much as he can to improve the access to provide for more telehealth opportunities. But the reality is, until the local ordinances are more on the same page, whether it's through encouragement from states or voluntary work on behalf of city councils or what have you, this will be a slow going, heavy lift to achieve true rural expansion of broadband. Certainly can be done. It'll just be a very complicated long-term agenda. That is the update I have. Like I said, I wanted to provide and talk through any coronavirus-related items at the end, given the severely complicated nature of the issue. So happy to take any comments, questions, concerns.
Hey, Jared?
Sure.
That was Martin Hohenstein. I know it's kind of an eye way of thinking on my behalf, but with all the different industries that are starting to start back up and the fact that we're having to wait on third-party vendors that are, you know, from outside this country, and I know that's probably never going to be able to be addressed, but it's just, personally, I find it frustrating that we have to wait for parts from other parts of the world to do what we're trying to do.
And I know the Congressman was sharing your concerns. That's why he and Congressman Fortenberry, they haven't introduced this thing, but I know there is legislation at least being explored to, especially for essential industry items like PPE.
Yeah.
To require is too strong of a word for what I want to say, but it's the one that's coming to mind. There is a strong industry presence in the United States. Because when you look at the military, for example, there is a mandate that if you want a contract from the military to make, say, uniforms, you must be an American-based company. And so while it would be hard to, given the nature of how our governments are organized, ever force private industry to necessarily go that direction, it wouldn't be much of a stretch to see the federal government, and frankly, under the current administration, I would not be surprised to see the federal government start mandating that for any sort of government-funded contract,
yeah.
Which is, realistically, if you're talking about the speed of D.C., the fastest way you're going to see change in that issue is that the executive branch administration or administrative agencies start mandating it for any contracts.
The other thing that really kind of concerned me through the beginning of this too is that, you know, when you start seeing that, you know, our country doesn't produce enough antibiotics or even some of the most basic medications to service everybody in this country, you know, in a situation, and that is a, you know, a huge concern also.
That is one that I can tell you the congressman has been in consult with at least NHA, the Nebraska Hospital Association. I want to say there's been some other conversations as well, but I couldn't commit confidently to that. To explore their thoughts on how we could ensure that we balance our lead in the global leadership in pharmaceutical research with the reality that we also be a leader in production of pharmaceuticals as well. Because if I look in Nebraska, we have no problem being a leader in veterinary medicine production.
Yeah.
So we certainly have the functional capacity to do it. We just don't have the businesses that are doing it.
Yeah.
And those that are so specialized in what they do. There's a pharmacy in Omaha, for example, that the congressman and I visited last year. They are a national provider of cancer medicines that are so complicated, you know, they have specialty medical licenses to even touch them. And unfortunately, while I absolutely would commend them for what they do because people need that medicine if they need it, we need more access to the basics as well. So I know that they're exploring what makes sense for that. But,
okay.
I don't know if that would be a likely change as quickly as something like mandating production of essential materials in the United States.
Just a little update on the COVID part of our situation. You know, you're in Hall County, so you know what our situation is because we're basically the same, except we're a lot smaller population. We're both over 1,500 cases. With regard to the help that we received from the governor's office, I would say that the funding portion of it worked out fine, but as far as, you know, our ability to get results, our ability to get help. We're a four-person health department, and now we have 1,500 cases. We've added a number of people. So they had talked about giving us help, and that got walked back a few different times. So I would say that overall, and I think that our health director and emergency manager would say the same thing, that we're disappointed with regards to the way we've been treated by the governor's office, other than the fact that they did provide the additional funding so we can do most of all the things that need to be done by ourselves. And I really appreciate that, because without that, we would be in a huge hole. So we're just plugging along.
And I will definitely share that with Congressman, because obviously we can't impact how the governor chooses to run things. They can certainly consider how the governors are running things in relation to future funding opportunities.
Yep, absolutely.
So.
All right, well, thank you so much. Hey, what kind of dog do you have?
Oh, you heard him?
Oh, yeah.
he is an extremely annoying 15-year-old Bichon Frise.
All right. Well, thank you for the information.
All right. Well, if you ever need anything else, please don't hesitate to call the Grand Island office. We're always happy to help.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, have a good day.
All right, next, Kelly Malcolm, Lewis and Clark Title Company.
Yes.
All righty. Step up and say your name and whatever you got to say.
I'll take my mask off so you can see the voice with the face.
All right.
If you don't mind, is that okay?
Nope, that's perfect.
Okay. I'm Kelly with Lewis and Clark Title in South Sioux City, Nebraska. I'm an owner-operator of that business. And I come here today to accomplish a few things. But one thing that I don't want to do is cause a conflict with the people that I'm going to mention. Mm-hmm. I have nothing against them. This isn't personal at all.
Yeah.
So I just want, on my part, I just want to make that clear.
Mm-hmm.
So let's start. I'm here to talk about a property in South Sioux City, Nebraska, 808 and 909 East 7th Street, which I think you're all familiar with, apartments on the river.
Yeah.
Down there, owned by LMG Properties.
Was that the 12-plex and then the larger building?
Yes, and the parking lot.
Yeah.
There were several pieces to this whole transaction that was quite difficult. But Alma with Cardinal Real Estate, she was the listing agent for that property and represented the seller. I was the closing agent for both buyer and seller. The property had three different parcel ID numbers, and all of them were on tax sales. Some of them being, I believe, 2015 and up, but the particular one I'm gonna talk about, which was the complex itself, had a tax sale on it, and it had two different tax sale IDs. So if you're familiar with the tax sales,
how many years was it sold as a tax sale?
2016 was the first year, and an investor had come in and purchased the 2016.
Mm-hmm.
2017 and 2018 then was purchased by another investor, which gave it two different numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so which probably even makes it more complicated, you know, with the back taxes and all. And so with that being said, it's my job to make sure and call and get, before closing, to get the accurate taxes and payoffs for the closing certificates. And I knew what the 2019s were. They were there for me to see, which wasn't a problem, and so forth. So I called and I talked to Kathy at the Treasurer's, and I gave her each tax ID number, including the taxes that were on the sale. I had asked her for a total for 2016 through the 2018 balance due. Unfortunately, as I said, there were two different tax sale numbers. And then the number that she gave me finally was $33,214.57.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. And I asked her a couple of times, I says, okay, is that the total balance? And her response, as I recall, was yes. The day that I actually sent the taxes to be paid, I attached all of the tax ID numbers, and along with that, I attached the certificate numbers with that. My employee, excuse me, went to pay them, and I got a call from him saying there was a problem. And I asked him to put Steph on the phone, on his cell phone, and I talked to Steph. And she had told me that there were two different tax numbers, one for 2016 and then one for the 17 and 18. And that I was short money of $17,738.39. I explained to her that I had called down and double checked and made sure, because I knew how important this was, especially with the liability that I hold and wanting to get this transaction done correct. And that was the answer that I was given. And with my and Steph's response to that was, I'm so sorry, this was not given to you, and I'm sorry, and I'm going out to the girls to make sure that they all know how to identify this sort of thing in the future. And she told me that she was going to go out and show them and so forth. I had no other way to resolve this but to pay those taxes that day, because these were delinquent. They add up day after day after day after day, and it wasn't the buyer's fault. This was in a situation where the buyer or the seller was in a predicament as well with this whole thing.
Did you approach the buyer and seller and ask them if they were willing to do anything with regards to that money?
I did not approach the buyer because the buyer is not, that is not anything that would be their responsibility or their care. The seller, yes, I did, but she everything that she got went back to the lenders that had liens on the properties.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just a bad situation all the way around. So the transaction closed, and then Alma and myself and then Bob came to my office, and we all three had a meeting. We thought it'd be good to call the state and get some input on what we could do with this. Bob apologized many times. Everybody makes mistakes, and he did say that he was pretty sure what her answer was going to be. I mean, he did say that, and I thought, well, this might be a waste of time. But her answer surprised me, actually, because her answer, after she listened to all of our, you know, what had happened, she said, well, this actually is the county's problem. It was the county treasurer's office, and the state has nothing to do with that. So you need to take it back to them. So we thought at that point that we all three were on the same page, which, you know, we didn't know for sure what was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Bob said he'd be in contact with us. He was very good about texting us and letting us know. And so then he had came to my office the next day and said that he went and talked to his clerk, which, and Kathy and Steph are both very diligent, good, you know, they do a good job. I'm not disputing that at all. But he said he'd went and talked to them and asked them, or Kathy, to go home and sleep on it and really think hard about that day when she visited with me about those taxes. And he said she come back the next day and said, yes, she did remember giving me those figures. So at that point, I had explained to him, I said, how do you explain the phone call to Steph, or the conversations we had? And he then said he'd go back and talk to her. Well, at this point, it was a he said, she said thing, and I was just done with it. And I just wanted to get to the facts and the point and just move forward. So that's why I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
And I, like I said, I just, it just was, it's just a bad deal.
Mm-hmm.
I was given this little memo from another closing company.
Mm-hmm.
That was just given to me here. If you guys want to pass this around and read it.
Yep.
That's not anything, I mean, that's something from another closing company that has had the same issues with the treasurers and so on.
I don't have, I don't really have a good feeling on how your business works, so I just had a couple questions for you.
Sure.
So they represent the seller, they represent the buyer, and then in this situation, you represented the buyer and did the closing.
And the seller as well.
Okay, so you represent
for the numbers.
Yes. For the purpose of the closing.
Yeah.
Okay, when you do that, you rely on numbers from the courthouse without actually laying your eyes on them.
Correct.
And that's the way your business, that's the way the business industry does it.
For the most part, yes. Now, I do have other treasurer departments that will email me and actually fax me what I've asked for, especially in tax sales.
And then the few sales that I've had, you know, there's always the tax number or the stamps and stuff, and you pay for the stamps. And so I'm just not really, you know, sure on exactly how that works. But so then the advantage of using a title company, I guess in my mind, it was always like, use a title company because if there's anything, if there's a lien or anything
Correct.
Against this property, then you don't have to worry about that because you went through the title company.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah, and my thought was that, I guess, you know, my thought is then if, you know, who's doing the research to make sure that the title company doesn't have anything against it? You know, and this is just my thinking, I'm not speaking for the board, it just seems that, you know, without laying eyes on something, on a number like that, it would be hard to go forward to rely on somebody's information. I don't know how your business works, but to me it just seems like if it's a company that does that maybe you would have to you know, to actually lay eyes on it and see that is the deal, but I don't
and
know.
And request something in writing and ask for it to be maybe emailed or faxed over.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
A photocopy of it or what have you. And I know it's a bad situation.
Yeah. And so yes, we do our research, but we find that there's tax sales. Now, normal taxes are just on their parcel numbers. That's a give me. You know when the first half is due and the second, if they're current. But when we have delinquent taxes, we have to get that interest. There's no way for us to calculate that. There's no way for us to know, but to call and find out. So we rely on that. we research the records. We don't do things online, obviously, because there isn't a lot online in this county.
In this county. Yep.
But we physically come to the courthouse and research, you know, data for the registered deeds. We look into the district courts as well. We do an in-depth search on each property. But there are certain ones that are just more, they're harder and more critical. And
would this be one of those?
Yes, this was definitely a difficult one. Now, I can see in this situation, if I totally dismiss the tax sale item, which has happened with us mm-hmm. doing, and that's a give me. That's like looking at my hand. That mm-hmm. was my mistake. But in this case, I did identify the tax numbers and with the parcel number. And I wanted to make sure that that it was paid. So it's very, very important for us to be able to do our jobs accurate and get the right information. And I know, you know, many times it's frustrating with trying to call down there and the phone is never answered. That has been a frustration for me for years.
That's all the time, not just during this COVID situation?
Yeah, yes, absolutely. I've been in this business for 20 years, mm-hmm. and it has not always been. It was easier a long, long time ago, but late in the last few years, it hasn't been.
Everything was easier a long
time. Yeah,
everything I dealt with.
Yeah,
for sure. And I don't know why it's going the other way, but I wish it wasn't.
Yeah, the you know, regulations and everything that we have to keep up with, and so forth. So I'm just here to ask the board to take a second look at the situation. And I know it's a lot of he said, she said, but I felt very comfortable with our meeting with Bob that day in our office, and I just felt very comfortable. I just think I was thinking at the end of it, he thought that we'd get a different answer from the state, and it'd just all be over with.
Mm-hmm.
But that isn't what it was.
Okay.
So.
What amount of money makes everybody happy?
Well, apparently the $17,000. The 17, that number that I gave you.
Yeah, 70.
Yeah.
70. Yeah. I just wondered about it. If you represented the buyer and the seller?
Yes, I did.
I guess if I was the buyer, has he been asked to make up the difference?
No. It's all in a purchase agreement at the time of the transaction or before it's even done. And it's always up to the seller to take responsibility for those taxes. In this case, the taxes were all supposed to be paid and everything went back to the bank, is what happened.
So the seller didn't want to cough up any money either.
Because that would be out of their pocket, not what would be going right back to the bank.
Correct.
When the time was this closing?
This was the closing would have been. $429.
So, is the total sale price confidential?
No, because the deeds have all been recorded.
So, what percent of the sale would that 17 be?
What was the actual sale price on that property?
The actual sale price was $385,000.
My guess is that buyer wanted Red Valley to pay the 17, wouldn't he?
Well, the taxes are already paid. I took it upon myself to do that because it's none of the buyer's problem at this point.
Oh.
Not the buyer only was there to buy it and not he wasn't. They're not even involved in that part, so to speak. They just at the end of it, they want clear title.
Mm-hmm.
So. That's how that works. And this is a big transaction. I mean, I've dealt with other transactions that have been smaller, and I've just went ahead and paid them and not, you know, got into what the logistics of it. And there's a couple of them that I knew were not my fault, but I went ahead and did that. just because of the customer that I was dealing with at the time. They're a very good customer, and I appreciate that. And it wasn't their fault, which was a buyer at that time, and they were coming back on him for that. And I did not want to jeopardize our future relationship. Mm-hmm. And so, but this is $17,000. I'm a small business trying to keep it going, which I so much appreciate the business that I've got. And I started out small and I grew, and I just hope it continues. But this kind of thing can set a person back pretty good. So.
And regardless of the outcome of this at the end, I don't think there's going to be any issue going forward with our office, our treasury. I mean, I would hope that there's certainly not, regardless of what happens. I mean, I think your business going forward, I don't think should be affected by anything that happens regardless.
Yeah.
With regards to this case.
Well, and that's what I said in the beginning. This isn't personal. This is basic, just numbers for me at this point. And just wanting to make sure that the board knows where I'm coming from and what has happened. But we do try our best, and we try our best to make sure. We carry a very high liability because of the numbers that we work with and disperse through escrow accounts. And if they don't balance and so forth, we have to account for everything we do.
So when it's called title insurance, do you have insurance against your transactions?
Yes, so what it is, you have a purchase price, and just like everybody else, we have insurance for what we do in case we make a mistake. And so then it's based off of the purchase price, and it's a Nebraska State rate, and it's by the purchase price. So however much that is, we have a calculator, and we put that in there, and it gives us the amount of insurance that you're covered for. If something would go wrong, if we miss a lien, if we find that even it goes to a situation if there's not proper access to this property, we would have to pay up to that amount that they paid in insurance, $385,000, because they paid that premium. We would have to make sure to get adequate access. That meant make an easement, a road, or what we'd have to pay for that up to that amount. And unpaid taxes is a part of that whole process of giving clear title, because if you don't have paid taxes, you don't have clear title.
So if you punch that 385 into your calculator, does it cover the loss in this situation?
For the premium?
No, will the insurance cover the cost?
Oh, yes, for the fact that it's insured up to $385,000. Yes. I mean, that's a big amount. I mean, it'd have to take a lot, you know. But then if we miss they always take it to the amount of the purchase price in case there was something missed, like a lien. Because them can be half of more than the purchase price. Or up to the payoff. So.
All righty. Well, thank you for all that information. If you go ahead, Kevin.
Is it common practice to do these contracts before you have actually seen the documents saying how much back taxes are owed? I mean, is it common to just call and then just do a contract based off of that?
In the purchase agreement, so when it all begins, and I'm thinking that the real estate agents could answer that probably better than myself, but knowing when I get the contract, it's all set out for me. I do know that the real estate agents also make their calls, because they're trying to get a hold of a grip on, but when they're listing it and gonna sell it even, what is against that property what are they up against? So I know that they make their phone calls to the treasurers as well. There'll be sometimes where they will ask us just to do a quick search, to make sure what they're up against, if they might know something, about that property, to begin with. But a contract, once it gets, it's pretty much set out. And then when the commitment comes out, after I do my report, it shows all those delinquent taxes on it. And it's given to the buyer and the seller.
Kelly, is there anywhere else you can get the information on what the taxes they owe other than the treasurer?
No.
That's the only question.
No.
I think I can answer your question where you're saying, Specifically in this case, we did, because I had different offers. It was a different situation. It's a short sale. So we have to have every penny accounted for in order for the bank to accept the sales price. So I did call numerous times to the office to who answers, I don't know, because as our practice has been for years, 20 years I've been in the business, I call, they give me the taxes, they check. In this case, I call at least four times, because I know I have four offers from different people. And this one specifically, we had since, I mean, months working on this. I called and I was given the same number. And I called and I was given the same number. And because we matched it to what the bank was the minimum that they were going to accept, so I know that was the right amount. So, yes, we did account for every penny owed that we were told by the professionals here.
So the number that you called, the number that you received when you called, is the same number that she
it's
was given as a...
close because we have different closing
yeah,
days.
Just different closing date. The interest that, over a
yeah.
few days.
So difference. It's not like one time, it was many times given the wrong amount. And because we accounted from the bank, so they have we have those records from the bank that they had those numbers before many times. Mm-hmm. Because we came to the sales price accounting for the tax owed, for everything else that was going to be paid off. So right now at this moment, when this happens, seller is not at fault. I know in a regular situation, we go back and, you know, we miss, they miss whoever missed, you know. This and they usually will cooperate with us. But in this case, it was a short sale. It was our duty, and we rely on you in this office to give us correct amounts to get to the sales price. It was a short sale, so she has no more money to pay for. So where is she going to come up with this money? And I really don't feel it's Kelly's company's fault, or why we should have to file an insurance, an errors and omission insurance. Because of that conversation we had about with the state lady, with Deanna over at the county, you agree and you accepted with her that it was your office's mistake, that they gave us the wrong amount. So she said, it's easy, it's not our problem, it's the county's problem, go back, file your errors and omissions and take care of it. So we were on the same, with that, we were on the same thing. So next day I get the news that the lady slept or not on it and came up with a different answer, of course. So now we have this problem. And maybe it is too, I know it comes from now to the case, but it's an ongoing problem. We had a situation before, this one is just 17,000 and we don't have a seller that pays for it. So all the ones that we have, buyers have suck it up and pay for taxes that were not clearly told, you know. But this case is not Kelly's place to file on errors and omissions when it was not her fault. She called and asked with names and all. I called and asked at least four or five times with no names, because that's what we do all the time. We call, hey, whoever answers, can I have taxes for this property? And usually when they're up to date, we can figure out part of them, but if we have a behind tax or whatever, you know, we get an idea. 17,000 would not get out of my eyes, her eyes, bank eyes.
Okay, but what I was asking is it common for you guys to do these contracts, make these deals with never actually confirming, looking down and looking at it?
Yes, we do. Well, we have,
and there's been past problems
there, because we don't come to your office or December office and check the work. We come and get
but,
it.
But if there's been past problems, wouldn't that make sense to come down and check the work?
Whose job is that, to give us our numbers? Or are we supposed to come in person and do it? Not as a realtor, I know it's not, but I wouldn't think as a closing company.
Well, actually, it's my job when they give me the contract, because they set all the information out, then I come find it.
But even before that, Kelly, when we list the house, one of the things we take into account, when
they
give us a seller's estimate, is okay, you're gonna have this and this, and if they, you know, if we check on taxes and stuff to make sure how much we're gonna be relying to them on the price.
And Kevin, it's like, if you look at it a simple way, it's like when they have a payoff at a bank, mm-hmm. that we need to get the payoff, because that would constitute a lien if we didn't have it all paid off. We call them because they're the ones that have the information. They're the ones to give us the payoff. If the payoff's wrong, we would have no idea. Now, if Kelly went down there and they were missing the tax ID number, which is what happened, she could go down there and they're going to show her those same things because they overlooked that tax number. There's no way we would be able to... Unless we go down to the treasurer's office and start tearing through
and
their stuff. And it's not our place, and I'm sure they wouldn't want us down there. It's just the idea that Elma and I, as being owners of Cardinal City, we have made mistakes. But when we do, we own up to it, and we pay for it. But to us, this was something, I don't know what they could have done
Especially
different.
When it was admitted to it was submitted to my face, and then next day is denied, that, I think that brings up, I know, some more issues, not just, I mean, big 17,000, but
making the mistake.
Jeff, did you have something you wanted to add?
Well, yeah, since I mean, it's my office that does the tax roll, and that's where Bob gets his numbers from. My first concern is, why does Jake go into the treasurer's office when he comes to the courthouse? What's Jake's job over there?
Jake goes in there to get the taxes, to print off, okay, so that we can see.
And there's also no statute anywhere that says we are legally obligated to give information beyond an estimate.
So where is that to be found? What is?
Jake has a computer in the treasurer's office.
So,
or otherwise, it's really simple. You just look at the value of the property, which is can be found online. You take it with whatever last year's levy was, multiply it out, that tells you what your total taxes are. If you're concerned about going back, then go back those levies. Now, I don't know if that was Jake's job or Jake missed it or who missed
it. Oh, no, he found
but,
the tax sales.
Okay, well, that's good.
He found those.
Because that's why they're here. Yeah,
no,
so that's why Jake comes here to dare
yes,
to
verify
that.
Because the taxes aren't online. But Bob did share with me that they're going to be coming online.
Which hopefully will, because there's... So I think the board then needs to look at it statutorily and regulatory. Just double check. I know Ken could do it quick, and just let you know if what we can do and what precedent that's going to set.
All right.
You don't want to get into he said, she said, and set a precedent, because I run into this all the time too, just like the treasurer's. Not this particular situation, but Kelly and I have had to work through I don't know how many things, mapping-wise and what have you.
I appreciate all the information. We're going to go ahead and have a little bit of a, we're going to have a closed session for a little bit to discuss, and then we'll go from there. So we'll go ahead and have everybody step out.
Okay.
I don't know that we'll make a decision. And we'll go ahead and we'll get a hold of you with what do we come up with.
Okay.
You
okay. Very good.
Out.
Thank you.
All right.
Listening.
I'm going to go ahead and make a motion to go into closed session for a few minutes to discuss the information that we just received with regards to Lewis and Clark Title Company.
I'll second that.
Read the closed session. Basically.
Closed session regarding possible litigation involved Lewis and Clark Title Company regarding an issue with real estate taxes.
Do you want Bob,
in or out?
Probably.
What's the time?
13:58.
Well,
1:58.
Can I, if you want me to go, that's fine. But I was going to address some of that.
I mean, other than
once it comes on. All right, I'm going to make a motion to come out of closed session regarding the possible litigation involving Lewis and Clark Title Company regarding the issue with real estate taxes. I'll go ahead and let the door open.
Want to second that?
I'll second that.
Okay. Kevin is absent. Larry?
Here.
Janet?
Here.
Martin?
Here.
Yep.
We didn't
What's
do it on
time?
Purpose.
2:43?
2:40, yeah.
There's no evidence to prove it. You got photos, DNA, anything?
Got it all. All right, that takes us to miscellaneous. Fred Kellogg, Highway Superintendent. Fred had dropped off his paperwork, I believe.
Is that supposed to be open now?
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead and leave it open.
Okay. I get it. I'll let you go. Here.
You go ahead and take a look at the road report.
Yes, Fred. Have you talked to Fred about the bridges? Or?
About which? The ones that they're working on?
Yeah.
I know they did the engineering on the... Bluff Road Bridge, and it's just moving forward. It's just going through the process. I mean, it's nothing. We're waiting on people, not the other way around.
And that one, Bridget Willis?
That one, we have not got that thing moving. What do you think? Should we just request them to take the timbers off that, and then we'd be able to give it a...
I think so. The guy can see what's
okay.
There.
Yeah, I'll make sure they get to that.
And we need to get somebody to do it and be done with it.
Yeah.
We don't even need that much money.
Yeah. Oh, I know. And it should be done because I know there's a new landowner there and they would like to have that open. So. All right. Then we're going to go to our esteemed sheriff for the jail report.
Good except noon. So 53 county, April average inmates, 53 county, 30 federal, one juvenile, 83 in-house. 2020 calendar average inmates per day was 61, 35 for federal, 0.5 for juveniles, and 96 in-house. 1920 fiscal, 37 federal, 68 county, juveniles 0.6, and total in-house 105. So our federal income for April from the marshals was $58,435, ICE is $974, other zero, because of course we're not housing, we've limited to who we're housing for. And so our federal altogether was almost 59,409. Fiscally for marshals, we're at $684,950, ICE $62,523, other contracts, $29,185. So fiscal federal is $776,659. Federal for our 2020 calendar year so far is $291,316. April contracts was $605. Again, we're not housing. Fiscal county contracts, $19,148. So that probably number comes before we stopped taking other counties. I added a line to this, which was commissionary line, or commissary. So when we had Securus, prior to Securus, we were maybe bringing in a couple $100 a month with the phone service. This is with the new company that we switched to at the first of the year. And so I had Mark put this on this report so you guys knew that revenue was coming in, $1,734. It's also some of the video conferencing we do now with the inmates in there. So April we got down to $69.60 a day per inmate, which is down from March and February. Hope we can get that back down in the 40s. So we spent $178,264 for the month of April. We're just spent 85% of total estimated yearly budget. So we're 2% over for the fiscal year. General's at 84% of the total estimated yearly budget in April, and we spent $48,931 less than allotted for April, which got us back at 21.5% under the budget for the month. So we're hoping we can make up for the 2% we're over. I know that's just we got another month here.
Mm-hmm. I think you're supposed to be at 85%, so you're right on.
There are some things we paid for that kind of make up towards the end of the year. We're close. What? You just had to say the W word, didn't you, Joe? Anyway, so last month's bookings, 15 for the Sheriff's Office, 13 for the PD, 2 for the NSP, turn-ins, self-turn-ins was 2, feds 9, others 0, total 41. So April, I don't know where this other Nebraska, I didn't ask him where that 6 came from. That must have been probably from February or March. Yeah, because this would be April's. So that might have been from March yet when we were still taking people. Other states, 1, homeless, 0. So she brought up the water word. You know, that hasn't died yet.
Mm-hmm.
You got Tim's spreadsheet? Did you?
No, Michelle was telling me.
Oh, okay. So that information went to Michelle. Now, who's figuring that up is the guy that supplies us with the meters. And he's at about $180,000 we've overpaid. So,
and this is the meter company?
Denise, my wife, and I gave her these numbers.
Mm-hmm.
So her whole thing this whole time has said, they're moving the decimal points on you. And I can't see if they're doing it on purpose, because when she gets it all in these stupid spreadsheets, I can't follow none of that. I don't know what all that junk mm-hmm. means. So just tell me at the bottom, just that bottom number down the right-hand corner, that's all I care about. So she was talking with Michelle here about 2 weeks ago after we put these other meters on.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what they're coming to. They don't think it's on purpose that the city's doing that.
No, yeah, I'm sure not.
Because when you look at the first column, it looks like they're doing it correctly, and then all of a sudden it just goes crazy. Now, Joan, you're going to have to read them because
so
it's
the water,
way over
the
my
water
head.
The water usage is okay. They're just, the meter is...
No, the meter's fine. It's the accounting that's bad.
They're applying the rate per gallon or whatever instead of 0.3 gallons, it's 3 gallons.
Something like that, yeah. It's something like that.
Maybe it's kilometers versus...
Yeah, maybe the...
And that's how they're figuring it out. And that's why when I get what other jails are using and tell you, we're like, well, gosh, we're close. That's why all the meters are looking the same.
Mm-hmm.
But the actual problem isn't the meters.
It's the accounting.
The decimal point in the accounting office.
Okay.
It's the price.
So...
We need to...
I can't... I'm not going to say that positive. I'm not a forensic...
Yeah, accountant.
Accountant. But my wife, pretty much, and Michelle... is saying the same thing. Now, Aaron, boss, is actually putting all this into a spreadsheet, and I think he's got that done. I don't know. I didn't talk to Tim this morning about it.
Okay.
But in the next week or two, you should see that, so that should help.
Okay.
Tim was all calling me. Looks like $180,000 we can buy. I said, Tim, we don't get that money. It goes back to the county. Well, why does it go back to the county? Because it's not ours. We just won't be paying as much. That's probably why we're over budget. We would be fine if it wasn't.
Oh, for sure. I mean, that's been a huge draw on you for the last 3 years.
Two, for sure.
2 years.
Since they put the meters in.
Yeah.
But that's a hunk of money, and that's about right. Anyway, what are they paying us, 85 for law enforcement? A year? Isn't it 85? Yeah. Roughly?
Yeah.
Conspiracy theory.
What? No, that's not, I'm not saying that at all. People in accounting move decimal places sometimes, and it screws everything up.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Good. All right. The fact that the monthly price going down, just kind of luck of the draw, or?
As far as per inmate?
Yeah. Just.
I would say it probably had to do with we're lower numbers, or not so much. When we house more feds than regulars, our prices for medical draw. Because
take
care of their own stuff. ICE and feds and other inmates, it's our inmates, and we're way down. We have been for even before the COVID thing.
Yeah.
We're not getting as many.
We're good. Hopefully that's a good.
People sentenced to jail is, that is a good thing, I think, in some areas. Now, I have received another letter from the ACLU. I don't know if you guys have gotten it. I don't know.
I read your last one.
Did you see the response?
Yes.
Did you see that, Kim?
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm scared of her.
Scared
I
of him?
Be. No, not of you. Of
no, I haven't seen
the ACO attorney. I thought I forwarded it to you.
I don't think so.
You look fine to me.
Okay, well, I forwarded it to you. I forwarded it to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't get it?
What, Dick? What are we talking? When?
The reply to the ACLU attorney from the last letter.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, because you said something about it when I forwarded it, so I know I forwarded it to everybody.
Was it a month ago, 2 months ago?
Less than a month ago.
Oh. Okay.
I've seen a lot of them, so I...
Yeah. They blend.
But I'm still scared of her. And I send them to you to make sure that... Because sometimes I type things that I probably shouldn't. Usually I'll type...
That's kind of a theme.
Yeah, I've never done that.
He does that too. I feel better when he does it. But he's a lot longer. He does it for paragraphs. I have just a couple sentences of smart remarks.
Was it an RSVP email from December?
No, this was for a couple, was it a month ago?
I'd say about a month ago.
Oh, she wanted me to let all the inmates out.
Yeah, wanted to let them all out.
Yeah, that one was a while back.
You want a big window, so
I've seen so many for the health department.
Well, she said they were saying that because of COVID, I should let the inmates out. I said, no, the inmates are in here to protect the public. Why would I let them back out into the public?
Yeah,
and I said, you're an attorney. You should know that I don't have the power to do that anyway. Why are you telling me this?
They want them out in a pen or yard, didn't they? So you get sunlight.
No, we're with compliance. They get sunlight.
I know, but she didn't see it that way.
Well, this jail has saved us. When I was at the sheriff's meeting last week that I was at, there's a lot of sheriffs dealing with older jails dealing with this corona stuff.
Mm-hmm.
With the nurse that we got and what's going on in our jail, we're not dealing with it.
You have the, what do they call that, the reverse pressure?
Well, no, we don't have reverse pressure, but what we have is separate HVAC systems for a couple of them cells. So
huge.
Mark just automatically separated, and then we have one block that comes in for 14 days. If they're new admittance, they go in there until the nurse sees how they're doing. And we've had one, I've had a deputy test positive and a jailer that's back to work now that tested positive. But so for the most part.
Well, thanks for all that they're doing over there. That makes a big difference to us.
They do, yeah. And it's because of this jail we can do that. Mm-hmm. But these other sheriffs are just having a heck of a time. Mm-hmm. But anyway.
All right, well, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for sticking around.
Thank you.
Okay, now we're looking to approve Resolution 20C-006 to appropriate funds for over expenditure budget for the district court's office. I think y'all have a copy of that resolution. We want to expand that by $500 to $5,665.
I'll make a motion to approve Resolution 20C-006 to move $500.
And I would second that.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Martin?
Yep. And then we have approved Resolution 20C-007 to appropriate funds to the overexpending budget of the County Health Department. That would be to increase the budget by $210,346. To $493,654.66 for the fiscal year.
The $210,346 is what they got.
Yep.
For that.
And that $210,000 that we're expanding it by is the money that was granted us from the state to help with all of our tracing and all the other things we come across. It's like any other situation like that. If we don't use the money when this all ends up, we'll some of that gets returned. If we need additional monies as we go forward, we have the ability to get another draw.
I make a motion to approve Resolution 20C-007, which basically will increase the health department budget by $210,346. Part of that, and that funding is coming from the state.
Yep.
Okay. So it really isn't coming from the general fund, it's coming from the state through the general fund. Okay.
Second that.
Janet?
Yes.
Martin?
Yep.
Larry?
Yes.
Approved chair to sign referee independent contract agreements authorizing budget expenditures from Helvig Agricultural Service Company, Tri-State Valuation and Consultation, Innovative Appraisal Service, Inc., and Standard Appraisal Services, Inc. And those are the referees that we use if and when we need them during the process of the new tax valuations and when people come in and file.
And these are all the same prices, if I recall, from last
year.
All the same rate, now the early rate. Okay. Can we make this motion?
Yeah, we just use the same. I think we just change years on
it. Okay. I make a motion to approve item E to sign referee independent contractor agreements for the four entities, which is the same we've used in the past at the same rates we've used in the past. No. Any need to name them all?
No. I'd second that.
Martin?
Yep.
Kevin? Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
All right, then, board to discuss an appropriate extending the COVID-19 precaution deadline to keep the courthouse locked and business done by appointment only. I think you never know what the governor's going to do, but I wouldn't be a bit surprised if they kicked us loose at the end of the month. Until that time, for the next 2 weeks, I would be comfortable in keeping things situation as is.
Today is the 18th,
yep.
So basically we're talking the 1st of June.
Yep. Yeah. Well, it would be till June 5th, right? Oh, no, you're
June
right.
June 1st.
Yep, you're right.
June 1st. Sounds like a good day.
Yep.
To start. Now, if we wanted to start doing, like if you did want to start doing openings, at what point would you start working those deals out, working those plans out with your teams, I guess?
I was supposed.
If we don't meet till the 1st.
Uh-huh.
But I guess the next day, we're used to open to the public is what we would say.
Yeah.
At that point. we would decide on that date.
Yeah.
When do we, if we're going to be open to the public.
Yeah. And I read the information that you forwarded from Seward County. It looks like, you know, all helpful information to kind of look at and help.
That's what I've been, seems like everybody's talking June 1st from a lot of counties.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's going to be their opening dates again.
And I know there's looking at lots of different ways to try to control traffic and with those things going forward, we'll just have to wait and see what we...
Most of them had a sheriff at the door.
A lot of the other counties I see had a deputy that was going to man the door to kind of keep traffic coming in, like X number of people for each of the offices, like four or five people would go to the treasurer's office, four or five would go to the assessor's, and they'd have a handoff situation or something like that.
What about temperatures?
Well, somebody said that I
take the temperature.
Yeah, I think that's a
point. Because they can't control the bird protests.
Yeah, I think at least you're making
one of those.
I think you should do that. If you're going to sort
Bob has one.
Yeah.
I saw that.
He came and took my temperature.
All right, so what do you think? We think we'll go ahead and just shoot for the first?
Well, discuss about our meeting on the first?
Yeah.
But,
and hopefully at that time
we can
kick things.
Yeah, I feel like we just need to start thinking about
it. I know that they are going to do testing. Test Nebraska is going to be at the fire hall on Thursday and Friday. Anybody want to test, you're supposed to get on Thursday and Friday. They're hoping to test another 1,200 people on Thursday and Friday.
But when basically you have to do that survey, and if you come up that you... Mm-hmm. You have to get an appointment. It's not just drive in.
Yeah.
Go to Test Nebraska website. Mm-hmm. Hopefully by that time, you know, things will start dying down pretty good. Mm-hmm. But we had 54 again today. So that's not a very good number.
I wonder if that's new or just catch up.
You know, they only had two yesterday, but the state is just drips behind. And drabs.
Yeah.
You know, they're so far behind. And,
that's what I'm thinking. It was from way back.
I didn't really feel like I wanted to complain about the response to, you know, Senator's office, but it has really been not a really great response. Financially, it has been, but as far as any of the help that we were promised, it just has not been that way.
And we have to be one of the hottest counties in the state.
I know.
I mean,
per capita.
Yeah.
You know, our numbers are going to be as high as anybody. Yeah. We're number three. We have the same number as Grand Island. Their population has to be...
They're over 100,000.
Yeah. So they're five times what we are. We have the same.
And we have the same account. If they tested everybody, I think the 2017 census puts us at just over 17,000 people. So if you look at now we have 1550 or 68 or whatever it is, if they had, that would be 9% of the population, but we haven't even begun to test all of Dakota County, and we're at 9% with what they have tested.
And I've had a couple of friends that recently have had it and got caught into the mass testing at Tyson and had no symptoms at all, nothing.
Yeah, see, that's just in.
Yeah.
We don't know about the result. I mean, that's what we're not hearing is how many people have you tested? What percentage of what was tested is Tyson?
Have they done any antibody? Have you guys done any antibody testing with your guys?
We don't have. No, Workman's Comp won't cover none of that. I thought about it.
Mm-hmm.
I told Tim, hey, if you can find some place, but they're all making you go to the doctor and go through all this. Mm-hmm. Now we know Family Practice is doing it. Jen said that something with the state is going to do that for first responders.
I know real soon, within the next, I don't know how long, but there's going to be mass antibody testing. They're going to have to.
Because testing for it doesn't do us any good, but cause numbers and cause everybody to panic.
Yeah.
It doesn't do any good.
Gives you one day in time.
Yeah. I mean, you could get tested right now. I've been tested like four or five times. You can get tested right now, go out in a minute. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't do any good.
Mm.
So it's just crazy. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I've just resorted that the whole world's cracking up. I can't imagine what old Larry thinks.
Don't ask me how my wife, she won't leave the house.
Well, then she can cook.
Well, I know, she does.
She should teach my wife.
She puts it on me that I went to lunch at home, so I didn't have to go nowhere, but she wouldn't do it.
My father-in-law's 86, and he's wanting to go back to the mall and lick doorknobs.
That's my parents are going crazy, too. They're 96
and
93.
He's like, trust me, I've seen worse than this.
I was in World War
II. I was in World War II and Korea and Vietnam.
I don't have any commissioner committee reports. I think we're pretty much at a standstill on most everything.
No meetings. It's kind of weird. All the meetings we used to go to, and now they're all...
Mail and emergency business? All right. I think we're going to get adjourned and get into...
Did you approve the closure? We didn't do a...
Roll call.
Roll call on it.
All right. I'm going to go ahead and make a motion that we keep the courthouse closed for another 2 weeks. Oh. It takes us to the 1st of June. I'll make that motion.
A second. Things are working okay, though.
I think, for the most part. Yeah. Get people to answer the phones and things of that nature. A lot better.
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Martin?
Yeah. Janet, this we're going to hand that gavel to you and we'll go ahead and get to the...
All right.
Sorry, I should have brought that
up. Okay, we closed 306. All right. Now I'm going to call to order the meeting for the Board of Equalization. It is 306. And, let's see, roll call. I guess that's what we do.
Kevin is absent. Larry?
Here.
Janet?
Here.
Martin?
Yep.
And Tony is absent.
Okay, so I'll make a motion to excuse Tony from the Board of Equalization meeting.
And Kevin?
Oh, and Kevin, I forgot. Yeah, Kevin. He was here before, was he?
Have a second?
Anyone want to second that for me?
Second.
Okay.
Janet?
Yes.
Martin?
Yep.
Larry?
Yeah.
Okay, our consent agenda for the open meetings. Okay, a current copy of the Open Meetings Act is posted on the west wall near the entrance of the County Board meeting room and is available for review by all citizens in attendance. So if this, I have to do public comment now. I do that later. Okay. All right, so the first item on the agenda is our consent agenda. And what we have on there is the minutes from our April 20th meeting. I'll make a motion to approve the consent agenda items.
I would second that.
Martin?
Yep.
Larry?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes. Okay, new business. Our first item of new business is Jeff Curry, the assessor, is going to request board approval of clerical and omitted errors. I don't have a report here. Let's just have a report on to that.
Yeah, I think I brought some here.
All right, I see it.
He brought it.
Huh? He's handing it out. He's handing it out. Okay.
I got that, but.
This is the one with my signature on it. That's the original. I got enough copies. I guess I'll respect the extra people.
Wow. We're missing a couple.
Here's one for Kim.
All right.
I can put one in Tony's packet.
Oh, Tony.
Extra
one.
Oh, yeah. And then
Kevin.
One for Kevin. Okay.
Okay, now I didn't fill as many trees as I thought.
There you go, Kim.
Oh, Kev took his packet, I believe.
Yeah, you're gone.
Okay, so this is item, the reports. Clerical and omitted errors for item A. This is the list.
Yep.
17 properties. Okay.
Yep. So. That, yep, that is correct. So we have 17 of them. I thought I was done with the trailer court, but you're going to find I have one more. So let's get that one out. Line item number 13 is Lake Village Lot 45. Last week I had 50. I told you I was done, but 45 also got set up. So. We got that one added, so that went from a $0 to a $40,285 increase. The rest of these are, we did quick desktop reviews of portions of neighborhood 27, 26, 28, I don't see 29 though, 25 is on here too. And what these are, they're all, except for the four clericals, all of these were additions, new buildings, like I said, additions to the homes, additions to their outbuildings, where things were added and we did not get a permit for it. So they all should have increased. Now we had some clericals
in here. We had a we had one parcel that wasn't flagged, so when we rolled, it didn't go over. And that one was an increase of $37,000. And then we had another one that we actually had the parcel in the wrong neighborhood, and I fixed it. So that one is one of our reductions. And you'll see that on line item 274093.
Line eight.
And then if you look over at the parcel number and the line numbers, these are the same owner, so it's like two parcels together that we had to go in. They increased their value significantly. They have a commercial business there now where they have horse stalls, a store, and a half an indoor horse arena.
What number's that?
That one there would be line item seven. So they went from 385, 245 to 581, 525, and all of that was missing current building permits on everything. And the one that went down because of the land being wrong, but this is the one over on Stable Drive. There used to be that old metal building. I don't know what the guy did in it, fixed lawnmowers or something. Well, it's a retail store now. Mm-hmm. You can go in there and buy boots, tack wear, you know, mm-hmm. for your horses and stuff like that. So I converted the building. The building value went up significantly, but the land adjusted accordingly to the commercial neighborhood dropped significantly. So that was all taken. They were actually being treated like they had a bunch of waterfront lots over there, and they didn't. Unstable. So those two were the same owner. Then we got a same owner situation below too, and that was moving of a house. This is Cramper's Place on Highway 77 there, the one that they fixed up quite a few years ago with the windows and things mm-hmm. in it. Well, they did a split, I think it was in 2009 this went back to, and everybody assumed they did the split, and it was the house and one building, and then everything else remained on the farm. Well, when we called it up, on the new imagery, and we started looking at it, the split's in the opposite corner. I don't know why. I would assume maybe they split something off for one of the kids down the road to build a house mm-hmm. on. So I had to take all the improvements of the house and the building off of that and move them over to the other one, is what we did. So one parcel, line item 11, line item 11 dropped to land only, and then line item 10 had the house and a building added to it. So those were the clericals that we had. Everything else is no building permit. And that's what I told them to look for. Find something that go back a year, 2 years, 3 years, and then if there's new buildings on it, let's pick it up, get it on the list for this year.
So are they're looking at photographs?
Yeah, aerials. So the new 2019 aerial, we can measure from that. We can come right down on top of it, and then we can circle, see the sides and everything on it.
But the next flyover will be next year?
That's when they're going to do our change finder. So this is like step one. So what our goal is to pick up everything that didn't have a permit, any building that's out there, because mm-hmm. they're going to compare 2021 with the 2019 flyover.
Mm-hmm.
So if we don't get boots on the ground and desktop reviews done, they're going to assume that was there and we have picked it up when it was. It may not have been because it didn't have a permit and we haven't been out there.
You know what 17 is?
Line item 17, accretion 573. Oh, Mellis Beach. This one is, is it Denny? I just forgot his last name. There's a pond back there in about 8 or 9 acres.
Yeah.
And it's been null for a few, and we couldn't figure out who owned it.
Mm-hmm.
So I told Christy to put it on Larry's, and she checked it out.
Yeah, I got 6 lots back in. You want to buy them?
No.
Cheap.
Oh, yeah, I'll buy it. Okay, I need a lot. Larry and I got business to do after the meeting. But we put it to, I think we got the right owner based on what he does for business and the stockpile of equipment piled up.
Okay.
So it's been null for too many years. We needed to get it on the tax roll. So that's what that one was. And it took us a while to figure out how to do it. We had to remeasure everything, and, you know, there's no survey.
So then does the homeowners get this sent to them?
Yeah, they'll get, I think we're going to sell it. We're going to submit it the Friday before that first, you know, where our next meeting is. We're going to put everything in the mail so it's all postmarked before the first. Mm-hmm. And then whenever they get it, this is going to be one of those obvious changes.
Yeah.
Because he's used to getting, there was one small parcel that it would have been contiguous with, so we just added all those acres to it. So it looks like that parcel just expanded.
Okay.
On there. God, is it Denny?
Yeah.
I think it's Denny, right? Yeah. Is that his last name? Yeah. Okay.
Plumber.
Yeah, because there's like HVAC stuff and like commercial stuff. He must do some commercial work too, because I saw some commercial units piling up.
He's a paper
guy. Oh, okay.
He does a lot of
that's what I was. Yeah, that's what we were, because he had some of his vans back there, and I had to trespass across Larry's ground to get in there.
As far as I know, I think there's three houses there. Well, I know there's two.
Yeah, there's improvements all in there too. Yeah, there's two for sure with new metal roofs on them.
Might be that too. I haven't been back in there for quite a while.
Yeah, and
did you ever know Mary Kay Harder and Eloise that lived there, Larry?
Oh yeah, no, I didn't know them personally, but I know of them. I saw their articles.
Yeah, they were the last civilization behind Millis Beach.
Yeah,
back
and they
then.
Owned the other two houses. At one point, way back when. They owned all three of those homes. The other two were rentals.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I think Brian had one for a while. I think he's left since then. But
yeah.
But we got all that put on. That's what 17 is going to be for. So I know he's going to come in and want to. He likes to visit anyway. I'll call it visiting. So I'm sure we're going to visit on this one. And when we do, we'll just take a look at it and work with him and make sure we get him a cup of coffee or something. Everybody's on the same page.
You bet.
Calm. Relax. So that's 17, and that's a pretty good jump, too. But you start adding acres, it does go up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's online.
Well, for that, no. I mean, I think that's that land, even at the acre value, if you look at what's back there and the location, I don't think if you put that on the market, you'd get more than that.
Well, you're up against the Albanicious edition.
So yeah.
Well, raise the value of everybody.
Everybody, yeah, Larry.
You think about that house, here's where he lives.
Oh, he does. See, I didn't know if he lived in the one up the back of ways,
well,
but no, he lived.
Well, he always lived in the one there when you pull down in there. He's on the right side, but then he put a schoolhouse over.
Oh, okay. All right, so I know where you're
something
at.
Something in there, and then you go a little farther in behind there where he lives or did live, or I think still lives there.
Somebody does. Yeah.
But I mean that it don't take much of a house to bring $100,000.
No.
Not this day and age.
No.
It's crazy.
No, if you put 50 on it, it's gone the next day for a rental. I'm trying to think if there's anything else outstanding. So I know the new people, I mean, they're going to come, the Weigel Creek folks, just forgot her and his last name too, but I call him the Horse Whisperer. But they're going to be in, obviously, for the one. Mm-hmm. But I can't help it. You just can't build. And these aren't cheap horse stalls. These are the high-end steel-framed. Everything's bearing with rollers. I mean, they bring in people's horses and keep them there. So this is...
It's a business.
Yeah, it's a business. So we've actually called that res commercial now. And they sent us a permit that said they were going to add to their deck. And when you go out there... We have a deck, then we have a poured cement office building underneath a portion of the deck, and then we go, it's like, that wasn't on the permit. What is this?
Yeah.
So I think they're halfway expecting it, but we'll see.
Have them, yeah.
Is a zoning correct for commercial?
Well, right now we had it zoned as, they're in an agricultural zone, they're outside of two. But their acres weren't enough to go farm, so we can do the rural res, which is the 4,500. Commercial, the only place I know that had horses that got, I think, zoned right, is the one outside of Hubbard. They have horses on the way to the lake, and I do believe that one got fixed.
That got commercial?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we were able.
Planning and zoning should be made aware to change.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they need to. And I think, I don't know if Christy's already called Jolene out at the shed.
Okay.
But generally what we do is we'll call Jolene and say, you know, send somebody out there and look at this because this is guess what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Type deal.
I can't believe so many things can happen without a permit.
Yeah.
Oh, this is just, we skip stuff. If it wasn't, like, if it was just a deck or something, with as much work as we got ahead of us, we just skipped it. We're going to get it, catch up with it next year. We don't have the staff to be out there. We're going to find millions. I mean, we found over a million just in a quick search.
There's a lot of stuff out there that doesn't get built.
Yeah, and there's some bins we suspected, but I need to go out and talk to them, or I need to hire somebody that knows what they're talking about, with agriculture especially. Mm. So, otherwise you can send somebody out and they look at it, they don't know what a grain leg is or a dryer is, or they don't understand, and then, the farmer just sends them back packing. So those are the bigger farm operations. I think we've got a lot of grain storage out there that's not. Again, we've got millions out there, I'm sure of it, sitting there that we just don't have permits on. And you can put up a grain bin and stuff without a permit when you're that far off the highway back in there in some of those places. They're done and gone before anybody knows. Well, somebody knows. Somebody drove by. But nobody wants to visit me until June. I don't understand. I thought I was more popular than that.
So all these new additions are going to add $2,400 to the county and $13,000 in total.
Yeah, to all the rest of the town. All the taxing entities are going to. And that's just with a quick scan.
Uh-huh.
And what I've done is we've done four of these now. Between the trailer court, this is our first run at the desktop reviews. I might be bringing you one more desktop review.
Before June.
Before June, because I don't see 28 or 29 on here. So I might have to
next meeting will be June 1st. Can you do that?
Oh, I won't then. Yeah, because I'll have to have my stuff out before then. And I don't want to set anything out that I don't show you guys first. So we can all expect, because your guys' phone rings just like mine does, I'm sure, so... They'll call and why did I go up 600%? And then just
get. And they all go out at the same time, right? All of these.
Same day, yep. Yep, we're just going to do ag, all of it, same time. Mm-hmm. One mass mailing and run away and hide.
For 2021.
For the new value. Yeah, the new value is coming out where the taxes will be owed in 2021.
Yeah.
So, like Crampers, there's this. Switch between two, but they'll get both of those statements on the same day, so they'll see that just the one just went up.
Yeah, so hopefully they kind of understand what it was. And if they don't, that's a quick call in or something we can handle without having to set up an appointment with them or anything. Because these are known now, so these are on the V drive and the staff has them. So some of them are quick, quick conversations. And unless they disagree, then we'll go through the process with them.
Okay. Well, makes sense. Well, it is amazing how many people don't have building permits.
No.
I guess
that doesn't even scratch the surface.
There's going to be a lot more. And when we start in the field, because we got to get done this year and early next year before the flyover, otherwise we're going to lose all the value the changeover is going to find for us. So I think that's later on in the agenda. I talk about different data listers or something in there.
Okay. All right, I'll make a motion then that we accept the suggestions of the equalization of assessor's opinion for the changes to the 17 properties that result in a net increase in overall taxes of over $13,000.
I'd second that. Go ahead, Larry.
I'll second that. What's that flyover cost?
Pardon me?
What does that flyover cost?
It's about $18,000 a year.
What are we paying? 20?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, the whole program to get all the flyovers was I want to say it was 120 something, and we're paying for it over 5 years.
It was $20,000 a year. About $20,000 a year
is what we're paying for, and that was the reason we really wanted it signed into place, because we're going to make up way more than that in tax value.
$13,000 right here today.
Yeah, and. Exactly. So it's going to pay for itself significantly. Now, people are going to be upset about it. It'll be like 16 all over again, I'm sure, for 1 year.
On the ag portion, especially with the grain storage, I mean, you're going to find so much of that.
It just,
nobody gets a permit.
No. It's just too easy. I mean, and even if some of them think like they got their basement remodeled or something, they're just assuming the contractor went and got the permit. Or then they added this and the contractor got it. It's like, no, he didn't. Mm-hmm. He called the city and said, I don't have that. Oh, uh-oh.
Okay, item B, the board to set guidelines to safely conduct the real property valuation protest process. Safe protest process.
Okay, that's a good one. What we're thinking, yeah, so I don't know. I mean, I think Joan gave, there was something that came to us from Lincoln. And they outlined, I want to say it was Dodge, Douglas, and Lancaster, what they call the big three. And after that, you get into the halls of the world, and they consider us like a mini version of that group. So we generally get CC'd, but it doesn't necessarily apply to us. But we'll catch the CC, because we're nowhere near 150,000. Mm-hmm. But if you look at our commercial and what Tyson and some of those bring, we got just as much commercial as some of them, so mm-hmm. or more than most. Anyway, so they sent their ideas on it, which are, it looks to me like I went and printed, I looked through the COVID, you know, here is the CDC guidelines, and they break it down for local government, state government, you know, whether or not you're going to need the amount of traffic you're going to have and stuff like that.
I also copied Jefferson County.
Thank you.
This is a good list.
So what we think we want to do at a high level here, this is roughly the high level protest process. I'll keep on learning how you pass those around for me, please. You get your own. And there's sub processes, so there's a lot of, like, this is my actual process on how we handle protests. And what I did is just added text in red, and I'll send this out. I wanted to clean up a little bit more about what the deputy's doing, because I've added responsibilities to the assessment clerks this year and some other stuff. So I'm going to clean that up in here. But I think what we're going to try to do is, if you look at it, conduct business. All of our business will be outside of the office. It'll be at our window. So we will put forms, you know, that we have and things of that nature that they can get outside on our counter. And then we're going to ask them at that point if it's, because we have to give them a property record card. They have to have an official CAMA system record card. All the rest of their data can come from the website. But the property record card is our responsibility. So when we print that, we're going to review it to see if we can just fix it right there. And if we can't, then we're going to ask them if they want to set up an appointment. And we expect enough people coming in, we're not going to be able to set up an appointment like right then and there. Because we're all going to be going around pulling all the data together to actually review, get the sales, mm-hmm. and all the information we need to make sure we make the right choice. So we're going to handle that there. And then once we're done with them, we're going to give them a green slip. It's just a piece of paper. We don't want it back. They can throw it away. To go down to the clerk's office, so that way Joan's staff knows they did stop by and see me. I gave them the questionnaire, the cheat sheets, and the property record card, and we handled whether or not they wanted to have a meeting with us separately before the referee and before they actually come to the board meeting. We don't want to flood that too early. So we'll send that there. So the only thing Joan's office then is she has her own process, but then when they get there, and we're going to give them all the links too, Joan. So if they can, they may not even have to go, because they can get online on your website, on the state's, all those Form 422s are online. So we're going to tell them where to get those, and then they'll stop down to, and I think that's where you guys check if they want to speak with the referee. You guys have your own form they fill out right then and there. But you'll have this.
Contact these referees this week and see what days they're available.
Available and stuff. Yep. I think I'll send them all another email. I told them when we actually got all their contract, it'd be a couple of weeks, so we're about dead on when we told them. So Joan, then we would reach out.
Would you be interested in like a split door so you could do your business at the door? Or are you comfortable with having everybody come in? Or
I think we're going to get more foot traffic this year because of all the changes. And I don't
so
remember.
So you just think about that, because I mean that would be a possibility.
Setting something up.
Just put a split door in there to where the top half could open and you could do your work there.
That would be a good
everybody
idea.
Everybody coming in the office.
Yeah. And that way, because we don't need to solve the problem, I guess, right then and there, because they're going to have three chances. If you look at the floor, me first, because if there's something we can do, let's get it done before we have to talk to a referee or we have to take up board time. And now that I got four people in the office I can use to do more things for me, even with the increased foot traffic, I think we're going to be able to create less burden on the board this year is my goal. So, that way they know. So if somebody shows up at Jones' office without a green slip, that means they never came and saw us, and they can just ask him, send them right back to my office.
Okay.
And that way you know if they don't have that green slip, they don't have
a green card.
Yeah, they don't have their green cards. They got to go back to my office, and we'll give them all their documentation, and then we'll send them back. They might not like it, but they need to see our office first. Because there might, like I said, some of them might be so easy. When we print the record card, we'll look at it, and maybe it's just the wrong neighborhood. Something we can look at and see right off the bat and just say, okay, here's what we're going to do, and just finish it there, and I'll put it on one of these lists and bring it to our next board meeting and have you guys approve it. And then we don't have to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important to make sure we get that flow. And then, as far as my office goes, they're not going to wear face masks at their desks. They're going to wear all the PPE at the window, though.
Okay.
Because, we got all that. Actually, the air, for some reason, blows out the holes in our glass. Nothing comes in. So we're fairly
That's
safe.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, it's a good thing. So,
office too.
Yeah. But we're going to have them put their masks on to be up there dealing with the public. But once they get back to their desk, it's fine not to have it on. And I don't think we're breaking any rules, because once the board says, if we decide we're going to be open on the 1st, we're open. I mean, that's it. I mean, so we're still being very safe with it because of our circumstance, but
yeah.
I still don't want people in the office. Now, I have talked to a couple of them. They might ask you too, Joan, and what I've told them so far is what I'm looking at doing for the referee appointments, and this would probably be the same thing we might want to do here as a board too, is it's all done over the phone. We can either do a conference call with them if they don't have a computer or something. Otherwise, we can do go-to meeting, which is very easy. We send them an email. They get an 800 number, which means they're not paying for any phone bill if they're not here. I don't want anybody else to have to pay anything because they're already mad, right? Now you got to, call me from California on your farmland long distance. So we can do that. So I'm trying to reduce it to where the referees need to be here. And then, but they can be in our office, and we can do it on my phone or what have you, or we can put somebody in here and do it on the phone. But I'm trying to keep it all online if we can. And if there's absolutely no reason, like somebody technically just can't do it for some reason, we're going to have to come up with a space someplace where I still think we need to keep the 6 foot. We'll have our masks on. We'll require that they have their mask on, and also require that they fill out that form I have. So we have track of who was in the building and who we spoke with. In case somebody gets sick, then we can give that information back to the health department or anybody else. So if we absolutely have to, we can do an appointment. But I don't know where the space is. We'd have to use the old boardroom, I'm thinking. I don't know where I could get 6 feet.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're the Larry type thing. It was just two people.
Yeah, just for two. Yeah. So we can do that, or
the old boardroom is the same way.
And then if they can log in, and I have, we're going to use Dropbox, so all of our documents that they have to have in the referee report. So a referee, like we'll use Sam as an example with Innovative Appraisal, if he's done the drive-by, looked at it, and it's his day to talk to this person for a referee appointment, he can use the Dropbox. He's going to be able to use the 800 number. They can talk over the phone, too. He doesn't have to leave his office. The homeowner doesn't have to leave their home. And he can actually have a referee hearing not in our building, too, as well, which is another thinking on the Dropbox and the GoToMeeting and stuff like that. We're really trying to push it outside of the courthouse as much as we can to eliminate that traffic, especially that first week of June when we're going to be, it gets really busy up front, then it dies, and then that last week it's going to get really busy again. But our goal is, and Melissa's very good, she's got part of her degrees, IT management, so as far as explaining how to do things with GoTo and talking to a taxpayer to get them set up to send, we would route things kind of through her and then set up a phone call with her to the taxpayer to make sure they, when you get the email, all you have to do is click this. And if we need to, we may call them and I'll have her walk them through every step.
So your office will kind of walk them through this is what you're
going
to do. This isn't going to be published. It's kind of, this is your
protocol. Yeah, this is how we want to do it. And we want to keep as many folks outside of the building as we can by doing it. And that's all the way through. Now, I'm not sure how the board wants to do it, but I would recommend we do as much by the phone as we can or GoToMeeting or whatever we want. Because we have, not a Dropbox, inside the county, in the network, Joan has, will have all the data on that V drive underneath the 2020. So we can bring up anything we need to see.
Mm-hmm.
Talk them through, you know, and just let them visit with us about it. And, it's probably easier to keep time limits and things like that with folks, too, if you have that ability.
They're not always here anyway when we do.
I don't know what the board thinks. If you want them in, I mean, I don't know what the risk is going to be. You know, I'm thinking the more we reduce it.
I don't send letters out and let them know when Board of Equalization is meeting on their parcel. We haven't.
Only when the protest happens, that's when you...
They have to fill out a form with you first, right? And get their form.
They want to meet with the referee.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then the referee is the one that comes and meets with the Board of Equalization.
Yes. And the taxpayers... Do taxpayers... We've never really had very many taxpayers.
Well, you know, Bart Gotch.
Bart.
There's some.
My buddy Bart.
There's some that...
Oh, my other buddy, but he's gone now. Didn't he move out? My little CPA, my bean counter.
Awesome. They're in the mall there.
Yeah, just forgot his name. I can't believe that I've worked with him every year for, I don't know, how since I've probably been here.
Just goes to show we're all indispensable.
Yes.
Are dispensable.
Yeah, indispensable. My mind's gone. I think I've purged him, I believe. But
his name, the accountant.
CPA.
So,
Leon.
Leon.
For your IMD,
Leon.
Then,
what you're
really
saying is you're
going to be
flexible.
Leon, is it Leon?
Leon,
oh,
you got
Leon.
It. Leon.
Yeah.
Good job, Joan. I think he's moved. He sold his place.
I think he moved to South
Dakota.
I think you're right.
Either way, it's not far enough, but that's close.
So for item B, then, this you are going to try to work as much remotely as possible via...
Yes. Via electronic online. Yep.
Okay.
So we're going to put
guidelines all kind of flow together
too. So like anything that you see in a box that's got the purple outline, that's a sub process. There's a process under behind all
right.
those.
Right.
So
the letter that I send out to the taxpayer saying that your appointment is on this date at this time, and you are to call this. I'll have to set up either having them call this number or having them call
Resume.
Or we would call them. Get their number, maybe. Get their telephone number or...
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Easier? Because we could go either way.
No, we'll get their number.
We'll get their number? Okay, that's easier. Just in case we... Yeah, that's better. Yeah, because like Joan, your process and your letters are all the way to the right, clerk's office. And I know I just wanted to make this as simple as I could, but you do a lot more than that. I mean, you've got the letter and all the communication. And for both of those, one of them's, you know, the communication through talking to a referee and then the communication for the board. Both of those fall.
Is that an option?
Yes.
Or would you just, do we make it an option or do they...
We would recommend. Can we say recommend?
We could say recommend.
Yeah, we would advise or recommend that, just to keep it for everyone.
Then if they push back, we.
Mm-hmm. If we,
by then things might be settled.
Yeah, things might be a little bit better.
Yeah, but at least this is a good initial plan.
Yeah, So I think just before it hits us, I think we still got a week or two. It's coming fast, though.
Yeah, that's about all.
Yeah. So we're. I think that'll help us. At least we have something on paper. We know. And the Dropbox we can do here, too, if Joan has her computer hooked up. It's just going to be outside the network, but I can put in anything they want. Like, if they want me to have pictures, I can set up a link for them to give them one-time access in my Dropbox, and they can drop pictures in there for that meeting that day. So if they're smart enough to do that, then they have their own computer, so we'll be looking at the same stuff, too. So, and we don't need to add that to the letter or anything. That's something we'll... through the process, it will get communicated with them on their data, especially if they meet with us first, which I'm trying to push everybody we can through the assessor's office first. They don't always want to, but, you know, like if we get a Herman Freeze and maybe he's mad again this year, then he may not want to talk to me. I don't know. Can we? I don't know. We. I don't think we can force him to go through my office. We haven't changed any of his stuff.
I was going to say,
nothing's changed, but you just never know. Mm-hmm. So I don't know with that. So there may be some. I'll know, though, because part of our process is checking the V drive every morning and every night or afternoon. So we know, because I got to write a recommendation for everybody that protests. So they're going to be checking the valuation drive in that 2020 folder, whether they talk to us or not. So I can still put together the information for you, for the board. That way you'll have sales comparisons, equalization comparisons, a land study. Those are the main things really we're going to need to, you'll get the latest pictures, things of that nature. And the pictures, as far as that goes, the only thing that we, if they keep pursuing it, and it's one we know that's going to go, we're going to visit the home site and get new pictures. What we're not going to do is go in. And generally, they don't want us to. Now, if they're protesting because the basement walls caved in, generally I'm going to be able to tell that from the outside, but we're going to have to, we're still talking about how to do that. Either give them my camera and go down and take a picture of it and bring my camera back up, but I can't. What we've seen in the past is people will take a picture of it, don't come in, and then you get a picture and it's not even their basement. Mm-hmm. And you look at it and you're like, well, unfortunately, I know whose basement that is. I don't know why you took that picture, but, and that'll happen, I guarantee you, it has. So.
Sounds like you had a pretty thorough plan there.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of go through everything that's happened to us, so how do we cover that?
Give them a pair of gloves and your camera.
Face shield, pair of gloves, camera, 6 feet. I said, other than getting up there to knock on the door so they know you're there, you know, mm-hmm. we have the badges too. Mm-hmm. I really don't want you interacting with anybody too much. I mean, ask them what it is. You know, if they want you to take a picture of their barn specifically, do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We have a lot of leftover election PPE and face shields.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, because that's the one piece we don't have. I know we got the email to put an order in, but I'm trying to figure out what to order.
Wayne Dennis sent me an email this morning and said, there's lots of leftover. I'm getting lots of questions on what to do with all this leftover PPE.
Well, we could.
And he said, use it how you see fit. And, you know, if I need to get more in November, we'll address it then.
Then we'll address it then, yeah. Because that will come in handy for any of the field work. Mm-hmm. Or if we can't convince somebody to do it online with us, when they come in, you know, I guess that's what we're thinking as an office and what I'm thinking for our process.
So for item B, do we need to do say anything in particular or just note that we talked about various options for safety of the
staff? I would say just note.
Yeah.
Set guidelines. So we've got
a good idea. Yeah, that's the high level process.
Okay, got it. All right, I'll make a motion. Okay. Mm-hmm. To accept Jeff's recommendation of safety procedures and processes to deal with questions about tax assessments.
Yep.
Are you going to charge a lien more because he's got a levee built around his place out there?
Absolutely. That's dirt work, too, plus the equipment time. Fuel. I haven't been out by his place, did he? Oh, yeah. Worried about the that water table was so high there for a while.
Yeah,
I
was running into his basement.
Who did it?
Leon.
Oh, did he? Yeah.
Oh, so he's coming.
Martin.
Yeah. Yep.
Larry.
Yes.
Janet.
Yes. Okay, last item on the agenda. Are we ready?
I'm excited.
Jeff Curry, assessor, update the board regarding property appraisal service contracts for fieldwork. Where did we?
Yes. I've reached out to two other data listers or companies that do that work. And right now, with everybody being so busy, it's hard to. We're down to either TVI or Standard. I probably started too late to get help. But what I'm looking for people with an ag background that have an ag appraiser in their staff. So it's just like we signed, we have data listing contracts with the Q-Tips, the Muff Brothers, and Sam does data listing work for us too. And now I would TVI is more commercial. They help us. They do our maintenance and listing work for us with commercial. So we don't have to really touch commercial until protest season. So I need to get everything done and looked at for 2020 or early spring 2021 that's a 4,500 or a 4,000 that has an improvement on it. And I need to send somebody out there besides me, which I'll probably end up going to, that knows what they're looking at and they understand it. You know, the difference between a lean-to or a lean-to with drop doors on it and railroad ties that's actually now a hog barn. People convert building uses. How do you report that?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have anybody now that can do that.
Yeah.
So basically it's going to be new work, and I don't know if the state's going to require me to do a contract or not. When we did the other guys back in the day, they did. But then since then, the way the statute reads, if they don't give you an opinion of value or they don't value anything, they're not doing it. I mean, they're not. I'm still setting the values, not them. And then you guys are overseeing my values. That's how it works. So my understanding is for data listing only, I don't need to have a contract. Okay. So we're looking at that, and I'm negotiating. I've got some early numbers with it. I've got to go back and talk to them. But I think, to be honest with you, I'm going to use Daryl and his staff. He's probably done it the longest, Daryl himself. But two of the guys I know that he has working for him are farmers. Okay. So, and one's an appraiser. So I would prefer to have those guys in-house. You know, if somebody's going to come in and look at that besides me, I want to know when they come back we're getting the right information. So, otherwise, we'll have people very upset.
Yeah. So you're still kind of researching that one. You don't have somebody to propose.
No, I think I got the guys I want, but I'm still working on numbers. His numbers are a lot better than the first ones I saw. I'm trying to get them to do it. I don't want to do hourly stuff anymore so much and try to manage that. I want to more like a project or per parcel. How much is it going to cost me to send you out to that parcel for? Depending on how big it is, it could be a couple hours. I mean, some of these guys got seed buildings on one end of it, and they got their own elevator. Evan Utah's place is a perfect example of what's going to take quite a bit of time to pick up. Mm-hmm. But some of it, you can be out there and be done in a half hour, done, sketched, and walk out. So you got to come up with a fair price per parcel. He's coughing. Oh, no.
Yeah, so that item, we don't really need to act on it. We just table it, and next month we might update us some more.
Yeah, if we have to, we have a new state liaison, Christy's her name, Light. But I'm going to work through her to figure out about the contract. Because if I have to have a contract for data listing, I can't sign that. I'll have to bring that. I don't think I can anyway. I'll have to bring it to the board.
Okay.
Okay.
checking with the state, and we'll hear more about this one then, basically.
Yeah. Once I find out about the contract and Daryl and I get a chance to sit down, I need to have him come visit me. I've given him all the numbers and everything. I've given him everything and more that he needed, so.
Okay. Perfect. Perfect. That's all we had on new business. Is there any mail or emergency business?
I probably should have been here earlier. And I killed a tree putting together windmill information. And I don't know if you guys want
to. We just tabled it for now. So.
Oh, did you? Okay, yeah. So this actually goes in. You can see all the statutes. And this will go in and tell you exactly what I can. Because I worked with Dixon County mostly.
Okay.
And she showed me what she's been able to get away with now, with as far as what she's putting on these things, and they're paying taxes on it. So there may be some revenue for us that I wasn't aware of on the windmill. So I know it's taped, but I'll find. I wonder if I can put that on a drive day. Everybody has access instead of killing that many trees.
Who's it from?
It's pretty big packet.
The state.
Most of the information is the state's information. I've got some Madison County, the guys on the speakerphone that time kept talking about Madison County. I talked to, they don't have any yet, unless they're being built. He's like, I don't know what you're talking. He goes, we don't have any bird choppers. And I said, I heard they're going to support your schools. And he goes, my schools? He goes, I have to have one first, and right now we don't. So. Oh, no. I don't know what they were talking. Maybe they meant Stanton. I think Stanton County might have some. And Burke County.
And Holt County.
Holt County. And Dixon is a big one. But I put numbers in there. If you take every solar farm and every windmill across the state of Nebraska, what it generates in revenue. That's in there.
State.
Okay.
Yeah, the state actually compiles it. Yeah, so they gave us what they collect now. I don't know. They send us a check. And what it looks like from what I read and what I understood Bob got for a check, we're getting shorted. Because it was like $10,000.
We have to prorate it amongst all the tax, everybody that gets.
Oh, is that, there's a formula. I was going to say, because the numbers
just like
were
you,
like.
Just like you give the tax dollar out, it's every school gets one, all the,
Oh, so yeah. It's all, but okay. Yeah. So that's why they just give you the total. Yeah. And it didn't look terrible, but it didn't look real good.
So every school gets some money? Money?
It's prorated out just like the taxes have come.
Yeah.
So they get Omaha and get the majority of it.
No, the county.
For our county.
Yeah. Our county only.
The school gets the majority just because they get 60%
get
of
shit.
The ag department. Historical Society gets a nickel.
Yeah.
I think they get 67 cents or 68 cents. Is that what? I'm trying to remember where I was.
School's about 67.
Right there on the dollar.
Oh. All right. Well, that's good information as we get further down the road.
Down the road, So if you want, it has the numbers for you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
No public comment, I would guess. Is there any public out there? Are we ready?
I think we're ready to end this.
It's the longest meeting ever, I think. I mean,
All right, I set a record.
No, not you. I mean, just in general, the whole
Start to finish.
Oh, I ramble. You guys got to learn to shut me up because I ramble too much.
Wonderful. What's that? 3:54. I'll make a motion that we adjourn the Board of Equalization group.
I'll second that.
You still do.
All in favor? We're all in.
Just declare adjournment. We don't.
Yeah, let's just declare adjournment.
Oh, declare adjournment. Yeah. Okay. All right. Sorry, I've only done this a couple times.
Well, I would have done it. I would have done it if you needed.
And I'm sorry. I gotta.